anniversary! Happy anniversary! Happy anniversary! Happy anniversary!
It's the 10th anniversary of the launch of 98.5 The Sports Hub. We're going commercial free all day. This hour of the anniversary programming brought to you by Boston Laser, dealing with glasses and contact lenses every day, still driving you crazy. Time to go where the pros go and get LASIK with the team at Boston Laser. Book your free evaluation at bostonlaser.com today. You know, this is one of those days where you have a lot of different people to thank for all the great things that have happened over the last 10 years. I would say the same is true for all the people that have supported us in the way of their sponsorship of this station. There's some clients of ours and sponsors of ours that have been around for a long time, and I know that we wouldn't be able to name all of them.
No. You're gonna leave people out.
But I just know that I'm just reading this now, and I know Boston Laser's been around for a long time.
Ace Ticket.
Ace Ticket, another one.
Jimmy Holtzman.
But I would just say Boston Laser. That's one that I'm familiar with, and obviously I've had a relationship with because I had LASIK there going back, I think, 8 years ago now.
Yeah. Jim Louth.
You know, to the early days of the Sports Hub. Yeah. So, all of our great partners that we've had over the years, you're all a part of this too, and we thank all of you for being a part of this over the last 10 years as well, because we wouldn't be doing it without you. This hour, we are getting to the best of Radio Row, and there's a lot of stuff. Jim has been working hard over the last, I don't know, month or so.
And Tom. Yep.
And
Tom.
Sorry, T-Bone. I didn't mean to do that to you.
To cut music up.
Sorry, T-Bone.
So this just
Jim and Tom
to go to Seattle.
So we were able to incorporate in these best of Radio Rows, not just Patriots trips to the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Oh no!
But Felger and Maz
go every year.
Have been going every year, regardless of whether the Patriots are playing or not,
including right after the start of the station. They were there from the very beginning. They've gone every year since we launched, including the first year. After the 2009 season, which was a tumultuous year for one Adalys Thomas. And this was one of the first sort of, I don't know, I wouldn't say one of the first newsy interviews, because there were actually some newsworthy interviews early in the station's history. But this was definitely one of them. Adalys Thomas going on in Radio Row. Was this Miami, maybe? You remember where this one was? Where was the Super Bowl in 2010, early 2010?
Where did the Colts play the Saints?
Colts played the Saints in Miami.
Miami.
Yeah. Okay. In the rain.
Yep. So Miami was the site.
Prince did the halftime.
That Super Bowl, Adalys Thomas is down there promoting delicious.
No. I'm wrong.
Well, what is it then?
No, Prince did the Bears Colts halftime. Sorry.
So where was the 2010 Super Bowl?
It was in Miami.
No, it was.
It was in Miami.
And this is
the
Saints.
And
this
right.
Saints Colts Hard Rock Stadium.
Halftime show was the Who.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. But it was Miami.
Colts won theirs in the rain.
Adalys Thomas promoting A Delicious barbecue sauce.
A Delicious.
A Delicious. A D promoting A Delicious barbecue sauce does an interview with Felger and Maz. And this was the beginning of the end for him.
Patriots linebacker Adalys Thomas. AD, how you doing?
I'm doing good, man. How you doing?
Well, the question obviously is, do you think you're coming back?
I don't know, man.
Do you want to come back?
I want to go and come somewhere where I'm wanted and where I'm going to have fun. If I'm not going to do that, then, you know, that's where I want to be.
And did you feel at points this season like you weren't wanted? I mean, it certainly, you know, based with all the stuff going on, it certainly
I don't know if you could say if you wasn't wanted. I mean, I definitely didn't have fun. It was definitely a frustrating year as far as that goes. As far as if I was wanted, I think that'll show up here. I mean, they're going to do what's best for them. So at what point do you then do best for you? So if nobody's looking out for you, then who's going to look out for you? So that's where I feel that can't nobody speak up for me but me. And so, you know, I don't know if that's frowned upon or that's like, you know, not a Patriot way thing or whatever. But at some point, you can't just continue to let someone think something happened a certain way and then it's not really that way. So I call it perception and reality. And so it's always a perception from the media standpoint or the fan standpoint, and then there's reality, which is what really happened.
Patriots linebacker Adalys Thomas joining us here at Super Bowl 44. How'd you leave it with Bill? You spoken to him?
No, I haven't spoken to Bill at all. So,
when's the last time you spoke to him? When he told you to go home that day after showing up late?
No, I mean, maybe a correction or something in a meeting, but speaking in the hallway or something like that. Hey, how you doing? But other than that, I don't really We never really spoke like that.
What do you think happened this year with you and the team and you and Bill? Or was there a moment where you knew it went wrong? I mean, obviously, the thing of showing up late was we all knew about, but was there anything else before that? Where did it all go wrong?
It was something else before that. It was something else before that that I knew then that was really after the Buffalo game, the first game of the year. Something happened and I was like, I really don't understand this. And
can you help us out
then,
with that, what it was?
I really don't want to go into it. I mean, because, I mean, it's just, I still don't understand it.
He never played another game for the Patriots.
The man that asked him to come on the station, Mark Capello, who does Radio Row and has done it each and every year and gets the guests for them, said he jumped the second he heard, oh, you're Boston? Patriot station? Sure, I'll come on.
A.D. Licious.
Easy. Easy get. He's, Capello said it's his easiest get ever.
No problem. Let's
no problem.
Do it.
Let's go now. Wanted to.
Wanted that, to do the last, interview.
Smart by him.
Jumped at the opportunity to go on in Boston. Yep, let's do it. Yeah. He didn't play for the Pats ever again after that one. That was the end of Adalys Thomas, although I think the end was already there. I don't think the interview put it over the top or anything like that.
I want to get a story out.
He was done. Yeah. He just wanted to voice his side of things, I guess.
Yeah.
That was a bad year. 2009 was a bad year. All right, Zoe, you have to tell this story because I don't really know it. Jim, Zoe, Vanilla Ice on the show?
Well, if you know me, and we have fun with music here, as you heard with World of Changes, I think we elevate some of those old songs as, you know, Vanilla Ice, Ice Ice Baby is one of my favorite songs. And I used to have this tight end in college, Frank Wycheck, and he cut his hair the same way just to look like Vanilla Ice. And I actually did a, and Hardy, you talk about King's Dominion, Cedar Point, you know, a couple of my favorite music parks. And I actually cut a video with two of my friends from college to Ice Ice Baby. And Vanilla Ice used to be one of my favorite guests.
Yeah.
So we would be there on Radio Row, and man, growing up in Pittsburgh, me and Joe Green came by. And it's like, hey, Coca-Cola kid. Hey, kid, catch my jersey. Like, that excited me. You know, and to see Vanilla Ice come through, and he had the flat brim hat on. So we get Vanilla Ice to actually come on the show.
So, no, but there were two guys at that Indy Super Bowl that really the room just stopped when they came in.
Tim Tebow.
Tim Tebow and Vanilla Ice. And
Vanilla Ice. Why Vanilla Ice after all those years?
People were, all radio people, they're all in our, like, the same age group, and they're like, whoa, it's Vanilla Ice. Like, it just stopped the room. And he had his book schedule, his schedule was booked tight, tight, tight. And we were there. The reason we got him on was because 2007, when we were in Phoenix working for Providence, we did an interview as a favor to a guy who was going around promoting the movie The Game Plan with The Rock.
Oh,
okay.
So
we put
Gresh
the little
Zoe,
girl on.
These 2 6-foot-5 guys, they were bringing the little girl that was the star with The Rock. It wasn't The Rock walking around. It was the little girl.
Right.
Okay.
And so she was walking around, and he couldn't find anybody that wanted to interview her, and we were just taping stuff. So Zoe wanted some little trinkets from the guy from the movie.
So my daughter loved the movie.
So
she was little at the time.
So she got out. We like, oh, we'll tape her. She got the headset on. He got the pictures taken and all that. We never aired it, but we did the interview.
Little radio trick,
right?
Yeah, we'll do the interview.
Yeah,
we'll tell you about
it. Tape it and you never air it.
You
so
do
when,
favors for people there.
When
yeah.
we're in Indy, he's the guy walking Vanilla Ice around. So his schedule is booked. So I go up to him and said, hey, I remember you from a few years ago in Arizona. And he goes, oh, that's right. That's right. And he squeezed him in with us.
Awesome.
He had like a 5 minutes he squeezed in. He wanted no part of it. He wanted his little break. He had his little Starbucks little coffee cake and his little Starbucks coffee. Sat down. But he was all right.
I just remember, you know, my last year in Miami, riding down to A1A with your drop top down, rolling in my 5.0 with my rag top down so my hair will flow. Like, I did that because of him and that song.
This is when Hardy taught us that you can't sing songs when you're on the road because of the delay.
It doesn't align.
But right. We still have the audio if you want to hear it.
Oh, yeah, I want to hear it.
Let's hear this train wreck.
Well,
and this is, you know,
my favorite moment of working. Some, we work on Radio Row.
Some version of payback, because there was that video that reportedly exists of you doing this with your teammates that you were supposed to show to all of us after,
yeah, where's that VHS?
After Maryland lost to Michigan State in the basketball tournament.
Still efforting that video.
Yeah, but we never got that. But we do have this.
Listen, there you go. Hey, turn it up.
Turn it up, Nick.
There it is. There it is. I sit back with my brand new invention. Hey. Holding me tight and flow
like a hawk daily and nightly. All right, there's Vanilla Ice.
Yo, I don't know.
Uh-oh, we're jamming over here.
Don't.
Do it. You do it. Good. Do it.
No, we have a professional who can do it. Don't do it.
Rush the speaker that booms. I'm killing your brain like a poisonous mushroom. Deadly. When I play a dope melody, anything less than the best is a felony. Love it or leave it. You better gain weight. Better hit the booms out of here. Don't play. If there was a problem,
check out the hook while the DJ revolves.
Hey!
Give
it
I'm
up.
Out.
There
Vanilla
it is.
Ice and Zone.
My favorite moments, Radio Row.
That made Zoe's year.
That made it. Like, I'm good. Hell with the game.
I can die now.
Yeah. So Mean Joe Green and Vanilla Ice.
Mean Joe Green, Vanilla Ice, let's go home.
We were like, oh, we'll play that back at the end of the show. And Hardy and Nick were back in the studio like, no, we can't play it back. Nope. Like, why can't we play it back?
It was actually horrible.
And then you got freaked out when Papa John got walked through by his 13 handlers and his eyebrows were like painted on and his face wouldn't move.
He's got jet black.
And his pointy boots. Yeah, they're like, this guy's a weirdo. This guy's a weirdo.
That was you and Vanilla Ice.
Me and Vanilla, yep.
Robert Kraft stopped by the set in New York City.
This was a good one.
This was in Manhattan, the New York Super Bowl. 10 questions with Robert Kraft. It was just a regular interview, but Hardy produced it up to make it sound like it was 10 questions with Robert Kraft. Like 10 questions with Wiggy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I listened back to this, and I don't remember doing it, but I can tell from the production that I did it.
It's yours.
Yeah, it's mine.
Yeah, here's the summary of the interview.
Robert Kraft right here, Patriots owner, joining us here on Felger and Maserati. Robert, how you doing? Thanks for stopping by. We appreciate it.
That might get them to turn off when you say
No. Does this embolden you to want a Foxborough Super Bowl? And do you think a Super Bowl in Boston would really work?
Yeah, I was a big supporter of this. And I love seeing games that are played in the natural elements.
How much longer, really, do you think Tom has at a high level to win a championship? And does that at all inspire you to be more aggressive in the offseason than you might normally be?
We have to try to sustain success by managing as wisely as we can. It's not dependent on any one player.
You look at Baltimore, they loaded up a little bit.
What happened to them this year? Did they make the playoffs?
So what would you rather be? Don't you want the championship?
Absolutely. Nothing more important to me personally than win as many championships as we can win while the good Lord lets me be on this planet.
Do you feel that urgency to win one more with these guys?
Well, I feel that urgency to win every year.
Robert, what did you make of Bill Belichick on the Monday after the game, you know, saying the things he said about the play, the worst he's ever seen?
It's a good question, but I'm going to let you ask Bill that question.
Oh, okay, yeah, I'll call him right up. He takes my calls.
No. I'm sure he'll be waiting, and he appreciates you asking.
So how much of a priority is retaining Tlaib?
Well, we want to retain all the good players we can retain. I think he's happy here and would like to be here, and we're happy with him. And we'd like to have him here just about doing business. And that's our intent.
Can I ask you a league question quickly?
Sure.
Okay. Obviously, you're influential on a lot of committees and a big role in the TV committee and all of that. But if the Patriots would want to throw their weight behind anything that the league is considering right now, whether it be on the field or off the field, TV related or not, what do you think is the most important change the league has to make, or rule change, or, you know, team in London, Thursday night TV package, extra points going back to the, you know, is there one thing more than any other that you think has to get done this offseason, an extra playoff team?
I'll tell you what I think will happen. I think in the next couple of weeks you'll see a Thursday package announced with a new broadcast partner, and it will be probably simulcasted on the NFL Network at the same time. I personally believe that we'll have a franchise in London, and I think also there probably should be a team in L.A. one way or another.
You want the extra playoff team?
Well, it means we'd have to. We couldn't be the second team.
Right. People are giving me the eye, so we'll bid adieu. Thank you so much for coming by. We really appreciate it.
It's great to be with you. I do have, we started a little league in Israel, and that's the commissioner and the head of the Israeli Football League.
Awesome.
So they've had quite a operation going there, so we dragged them here. So when you're next time you're in downtown Jerusalem, you can go to our stadium.
Well, I was going to say, let me know if you need a talk show host over there.
Robert Kraft on with Felger and Maz in New York for the New York Super Bowl. This hour of the 10th anniversary of 98.5 The Sports have brought to you by... I lost my sheet. It's Boston Laser. Now I need to tell you all the stats on Boston
Laser. 8-6-6-77 Laser.
Do it, Zoe. Give us the stats on...
Hello, I'm Tom Wallach doing the Sports Up headlines, and this is brought to you by...
Here it is.
Boston Laser.
It's brought to you by Boston Laser. Dealing with glasses and contact lenses every day still driving you crazy. Time to go where the pros go. And get LASIK with the team at Boston Laser. Book your free evaluation at bostonlaser.com today. Oh, that was funny.
I love when
Hardy embarrasses the long questions when you make them.
Oh, like we haven't done that?
No, we do it all the time, but when Hardy draws attention to it.
Yeah. Good job, Hardy. But that's the art of the production, which Hardy is great.
Do you want to hear Felger, not Felger, from Felger Maz, me argue with Maz about Deflategate?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
For 6.5 minutes?
Sure.
Yeah, I got to go to the bathroom. Let's do that.
This is from the days following... This is before the Super Bowl, after the AFC title game.
It's the Monday, the Kraft press conference,
Monday. And it's the day that...
First day in Arizona.
And it was late in the show, so I believe it was after the Kraft press conference had happened. And you will hear, I'm sure, Felger accuse me later today on his show of hearing from the Deflategate fairies and all of that. But I was saying that there was... there were questions about the league's investigation.
And you are having this on Radio Row.
Yes.
This
we
argument.
Were there.
Okay.
We were on Radio Row in Phoenix getting ready for the Super Bowl the Monday before the Super Bowl.
I remember going back after that or being there for it and hearing people talk about all you guys did was talk about Deflategate that entire week.
People were pissed at us.
That was the accusation. That was the...
Yes.
That was the critique of the Felger Maz show that week. But that was the story.
Yeah.
It was the story for years. And it was especially the story that week.
And day one, we were already bickering and fighting with each other about it. Beautiful. And this was me and Maz fighting about Deflategate day one of the Super Bowl week.
This is a different standard of and a different burden of proof in a private entity like the NFL. So forget that. You're right. If this were an open court, if this were a court of law, right, no chance unless you had a video of what was going on behind the wall. You know, it'd be a much higher standard. But it's not. That's one. And two, Dave, even on the NFL level, even if the fact that the PSI wasn't documented properly, and that's how the Patriots get out of it, or that's how they avoid a big punishment, is that really going to help them in what we're really talking about here? I mean, what does it really matter at the end of the day, whether the fine is $25,000, $100,000, whether it's a second-round pick or a sixth-round pick? Is that really what is at stake here?
No. I think that is...
The stakes are the reputation and the integrity of the team. And if they get off just because Walt Anderson did not log the PSI, I don't think it's going to help them much in that regard.
The other thing is, so now we're assuming that all the referees are on the take, too.
Well, this is what I've been saying all along.
So the word of the referees counts for nothing.
But
don't you need to know how much they dropped? Isn't that a key element of this entire case? If you're building an investigation and you want to punish a team for having underinflated footballs, you can't say, I'm going to punish you for something you did wrong when you can't even tell the people specifically how much, you know, was out of those footballs to prove that they were wrong.
Okay, so they've got no idea.
They've got nothing.
Why is writing it down the mandatory thing there?
No, Mass, if they can remember in their heads, I'm not saying that they need to. I'm saying that would give you a way to jot it down, be more specific, so you can say, okay, this one's down a pound, this one's down 0.8 pounds. So you have a list of all 12 footballs and what happened there. And hey, if he remembers it off the top of his head, God bless him, but I doubt that he can. You've got to record that. You've got to have that information if you want to build a case against them.
And I'm telling you, you could be right on this.
That would be stupid if they didn't. I would look at the officials in the league and say, why didn't you guys write it down?
Okay, I'm agreeing with you. And so maybe that gets them out of a harsh punishment.
That's not getting them out of anything. There was nothing here to even see. Why is it that if they didn't write it down, the officials did not take note of what the pressure was, that it's the Patriots escaping something? That's, you guys didn't even have something to go on here.
Well, you didn't
even write down how much the pressure went down?
Beetle.
That's mind-blowing and stupid.
The spectrum of numbers you can pick from isn't that much. It's between 12.5 and 13.5. And if Walt Anderson stuck his gauge in there and everyone came up 12.5, he says, yeah, they were all 12.5. I don't need to write that down. That's pretty simple.
I'm talking about halftime, though. That's what I'm talking about. You've got to know what they were before the game to know what they were. And if they were all 12-5, then you don't have to write that down. But at halftime, if you're measuring those balls, you've got to write. You've got to make record of that.
Yeah, see, I think it comes down to how far under they were.
Right, exactly. If they're slightly under, we're not talking about anything here.
Right. And so if they had to reinflate them with, you know, whatever, 2 PSI, 3 PSI, well, that sticks out. They know. I don't need the exact number to know that. That's good enough for me. Yep, they were all at like 9.5, and we had to pump them back up. Look, there was a lot of air missing. That's good enough for me.
That just doesn't fly to me. If they just looked at it and said, oh, yep, these balls are down at halftime, yep, they launched the investigation. Wait a minute. How much were they down? How much were the footballs down? You've got to know something.
Okay,
there.
But it doesn't necessarily have to be documented, Beetle. Like, if you trust your officials and say, yeah, we measured them, and I didn't write them all down, but at least half of them.
And then they reinflated the footballs for the second half and destroyed the evidence. So they really got nothing on this team if that's how that went down.
Yeah, see, I disagree with you. The more I think about it, I think that was the right way to do it.
Because then you know whether the balls are defective.
Right,
that's fine, but if you're going to reinflate them at halftime, you've got to take a measurement of what they were before you reinflated them.
Again, so you don't count the
officials. You're the officials. You're the league. You've got to do something.
Okay,
there.
But you don't count. Then you don't regard the official's word as evidence.
No, I would take it as evidence if they could remember exactly what it was. If they could say, yes, in my mind, I knew that it was 12.5 and it went down to 9.8. Then, yeah, I'll take it as evidence. Writing it down doesn't change the knowledge. I get that. It would help the case if they hadn't maintained some sort of record of it. But you've got to know the numbers.
Do you think they don't?
No, I don't know. But I'm saying they've got to know those numbers. Okay. If you don't know those numbers and you just eyeballed it and said, yeah, I remember they were down.
But why
are case closed. You guys got nothing on them.
Okay, but why are you assuming they don't know the numbers?
I'm not assuming anything at this point.
All right.
All I'm saying is they've got to know those numbers.
Well, of course.
For there to be a case here.
Yes.
Well, you're telling me that they just like kind of eyeballed it and it's okay.
No, I didn't say eyeball it. That's not what I said.
It was down 2 or 3, so there we go.
Well, 2 or 3 is a big gap.
Well, was it 2 or was it 3?
Okay, but Mark,
just because you want to know that stuff doesn't mean that it's wrong.
Don't twist the argument, Beetle. You're twisting the argument. The range is 12.5 to 13.5, okay? We all know what the range is. If the balls are at 10.5 or 10, is that big enough for you?
But isn't there a big
difference? Is it big enough for you at 10 or 10 and a half?
Then it would be under and they would be breaking the rules if someone had deflated the footballs. That's never been in question.
Okay, so you don't think the officials
look at these things? I think it's important to know.
Of course it is important to know. Yes, I didn't say it wasn't.
And I think those measurements are important in this case because if they didn't happen and they don't remember what they were exactly or they didn't write it down at the very least, because I know it's hard to find a pen and a piece of paper in the NFL. I know it must be very difficult to do that.
So why are you assuming? Why are you assuming that
I'm not assuming anything. I'm saying that they need that info. I don't know if they have it or not. For their sake, I hope they do, because they would look so wildly incompetent and stupid if they don't have those numbers. And if they don't have the numbers, they don't have a case.
Yeah, I have a hard time believing we'd be this far down the line if the balls were only slightly under 12.5 and they didn't have any other issue.
It does sound like, Beetle, you're getting someone in trouble for something they haven't done yet.
But that just sounds like it to me.
I'm just saying they need to have it to have a case.
I agree.
Because if they don't have it, this thing's over.
Well, of course. Yes. They got to have. I mean, I think we. If you don't have evidence, you don't have a case.
But, Mike, the way you phrase it, it's getting out on a technicality. That's a getting out of anything. There was nothing to get out of here because these refs in the league, I'll throw them all together. It's all the same people. Couldn't do this thing right. They botched the whole thing. They want to set them up. They couldn't even figure out how to do it.
Hey, like Bill Belichick, we're all just learning this right now for the first time ourselves. So this is all new to us. This is why passions run high. Just like Bill, we didn't know what was going on with these game balls. We don't know how their game balls are prepared. Like Belichick, it's all new to us, Maz.
Okay, look, I'll tell you, and I know we get a break, okay? So let me just tell you this quickly, that I am less worried about what the league has to say in this matter than I am about who someone else has to say in this matter.
Let's go back to your phones right after this.
That was the argument leading up to the Super Bowl.
That's a good one.
You know, not bad, right?
Pretty good. Those numbers. They had those numbers? They had the numbers?
They had two sets of numbers, the morons. Numbers.
But which one was with the
stupid
bent,
league?
With the bent pin?
Yeah, the bent gauge. Two different gauges, two good sets God. Of numbers. Bunch of morons, that league. This hour brought to you by Boston Laser. Dealing with glasses and contact lenses every day still driving you crazy? Time to go where the pros go and get LASIK with the team at Boston Laser. Book your free evaluation at bostonlaser.com today. As we said, Felger and Maz go to the Super Bowl every single year. So there's more content from their show than any other show here when it comes to the best of Radio Row, which is what we're doing this hour.
Right.
Including the year that Mark Capello was not at the Super Bowl, Super Bowl 50, And Jay Stu filled in.
Okay, so for anybody that watches those shows, like those monster shows, In Search of Bigfoot or Expedition Unknown. Yeah, there's certain videos, In Search Of, right. What's the...
In Search of Bigfoot.
Not the Zapruder film, but what's the film from out in California where, you know, Sasquatch, the Yeti was...
Yeah, we know the type of footage you're talking about.
The two guys on the horse, right? And they're out there, and this is like the first really, really good footage in the 60s that they have of what they thought was Bigfoot. There's nobody that can lurk in the background like the Yeti that simulates that than Jimmy Stewart. Of the afternoon show.
That's the Patterson-Gimlin film.
I was just going to say, Patterson-Gimlin.
Yeah.
Generally.
That's what you're talking about from the 1967.
And that entire week in San Francisco, when you guys were out there for that Super Bowl, when Jimmy Stewart was lurking in the background. Not you guys, but you weren't there. But Jimmy went out there and made his way on to
this
the
is Toucher simulcast. And Rich talking about that. That would be Jimmy Stewart floating around in the background.
So yesterday, I watched Felger and Maz on Comcast Sports. Did you guys watch any of it by any chance?
No, I did not see anything. I heard when they had the guy on about HGH.
Yeah, Ted Johnson. But yeah. What you have to do is, I don't know if it was just the 30 minutes I happened to be tuned in, but regularly in the background, you saw walking behind them a very confused and lost, wandering James Stewart.
No, I saw it. Now, I didn't see that. I saw it. There was a snippet I saw online of the Rome show.
What is up to the bearded weirdo? Yeah.
Okay, look. Somebody did a screen cap.
Get your hands out of your pants. Repping Killed Cats.
What is up with the guy with the WWE championship belt?
That is the best part of it. It's
repping... Greg the Hammer Valentine, or whoever might still be alive. What is up with the Hacksaw Jim Duggan kid? What is up with the guy standing by the table?
You showed him the Rome thing?
Yeah, okay. I showed him the Rome one.
The Rome is just wandering.
Because what the best part of it is, the Rome one is funny because he just looks so lost. And, yeah. Like he's trying to find a friend.
Get the creepy bearded freak away. What does he have in his pockets? That looks like it is alive. It is moving. Get the kid playing pocket pool out of here as soon as possible. Testing the mics on Comcast. What is up with the kid with the carcasses of cats everywhere? Repping some sort of disgusting Silence of the Lambs situation.
It truly is one of the best reasons to watch the Felger and Maz show on TV. I didn't expect it, but it happened like two, maybe three times, just in the 30 minutes I watched it, of him just walking back and forth, not paying attention to the broadcast or anything.
They call me the Wanderer.
just hanging out in the background. And then the fact that other networks are picking him up, just wandering around.
Hashtag Lou Albano is coming at 4.
That week morphed into me watching this nonstop. I raced home to sit down to watch this. As upset as we were for not being out there in San Francisco, not being able to go to Alcatraz, like, you booked those tickets.
Yeah. Well, Alcatraz, we didn't make it to Alcatraz, but we did make it to Houston and we did make it to NASA.
Yes.
Which I can tell you was
I don't even know how to explain that trip.
I mean, one of the funnest weeks we've ever
greatest
had.
Greatest car ride of all time.
I mean, just one of the funnest weeks we've had as a group one of the here greatest, on this show.
Not one of the greatest car rides of all time.
What do you mean?
I've been in a lot of car rides. Jim's talking about that ride home where he's
trip to barbecue.
The ride where
we drove across the state of Texas. Looking for barbecue.
I do not recall.
To eat off a tray.
I do not recall laughing as hard as I laughed.
So angry.
On that car ride.
I was so freaking angry.
We took a tour of NASA, which we assume would be like an hour or two at the most. We ended up being there for 4 hours, and they took us everywhere.
And it was awesome.
And they showed us stuff, and Zoe went missing a couple of times, went to find vending machines that didn't exist, and got us all in trouble. But when we left, we're all starving, and we're just outside of Houston. There's got to be some good barbecue.
Jim had that horrible iPhone.
Jim had that awful iPhone.
Jim had iPhone 1.
An iPhone brick.
Yep.
Right?
And that thick one. And I look over, and that bastard's got his seatbelt on. He's got two hands on the wheel, and he's going like 55.
No,
it's like,
what are you talking about?
I don't want to push it. When? Jim was driving.
I was in the backseat.
You weren't driving? You weren't driving?
No, I was driving.
No,
Beetle was driving that charger all around.
Beetle did a great job driving.
Yeah, you complimented me all week on how great of a driving job I did.
Getting us to work. Yeah.
I was driving.
But we put Jim in charge of finding a place to eat, and we took a loop around the outside.
We found a great place to eat.
But it took so long to get there.
It was pretty good.
It served its purpose.
And Zoe being Zoe.
Got free stuff.
Got like an extra free meal somehow.
Right.
And again, we're not that they knew him.
No.
It's because he's Zoe. And he's, you know.
Talk my way into it. Like, look at that. That's great. It's just so good.
Like, I'll give you some of that sauce. I'll give you some of that free. And piling on a couple of extra scoops.
He's just got that personality about him.
Right.
He's just got that thing about him.
I said, this place is nice. I love it.
They didn't know him there. Like, here, it's because people know him. Yeah. There, they didn't know who he was. They just liked him.
They even gave me free pie, and I didn't even like pie. I'll eat pie all day.
They just knew they liked him.
Right.
Oh, what a trip. We had a great trip. We did. We had a great week, and it was capped with a great, amazing, all-time Super Bowl win for the Patriots.
Yes.
We also did this on Radio Row in Houston that week. We sang a song.
Oh, no.
We sang Roll with the Changes, and all of Radio Row came to a dead stop because the people there had no idea what the hell it was that we were doing, and we had...
And they couldn't hear the music. I could just hear you guys.
What would you say? What would you put the number at? The number of people that just stopped and stared.
40?
Yeah, 40 to 50 people. I just sat there staring at us like, what are these guys doing?
Because they couldn't hear the music. They just heard us.
Yep. They just sat there watching us.
Oh, it's humiliating.
Here's what it sounded like. God.
We're doing this.
Yeah, we're doing it.
We're doing it.
This is happening.
Right. There are a lot of people here. Big audience.
Can we sing quietly, please?
No. No. Let it rip. Let it rip.
As soon as you are able, woman, I am willing to make the break that we are on the brink of. My cup is on the table. Our love is feeling. Waiting here for you to take a drink of. So if you're tired of the same old story.
We're going to turn the pages.
I'll be here when you are ready.
Do what?
To roll with the changes.
Yeah.
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 Woo.
Yeah.
That's enough.
No. Keep Super going. Bowl. Stop it, Artie. Keep going.
Yeah. Here we go.
I knew it had to happen. Felt the tables turning.
Yeah.
Got me through my darkest hour. I heard the thunder clapping. The
thunder. Yeah, that felt good.
Until you fell on me like a sweet sun shower.
So you're back in now, right?
So what? Yeah. Woo! We're done.
That's it. No more.
No, it's good.
No more. It caused a scene now.
Felt good. We did it live. Get rid of the delay.
Had to do it.
Complete
A-hole. Had to do it. Can't stop.
Thanks, Bert.
Can't
see
stop.
You, buddy.
Won't stop. All that.
Super Bowl.
Thank you. Roll with the changes. Yeah. Yeah.
We were the Suey guys.
Yeah.
So?
The Suey guys are these guys from Houston that every hour they go, Suey.
Are they Houston?
And Oklahoma.
They're the guys from Houston.
I think it's Arkansas. We'll pick Suey, right?
Oh, you're right, Jim.
No, but doesn't that guy work for a station in Houston, which is why we couldn't figure out why they do it?
Well, maybe that Suey thing got him the job in a bigger market because it was so well
I swear of. That guy was a Houston guy, which is why we're like, why do you get, why? Why do you do that?
Top of every hour.
It was station ID. Aren't you guys in Houston? I thought he was the midday guy in Houston for some reason because he goes to the Super Bowl every year.
There's always that annoying crew, either that guy or it was the remember Jim Two Live Stews from Atlanta? Fred Smarlis.
Oh, they were loud,
Fred Smarlis wanted to fight him one year. They're barking.
Hardy also met a childhood hero
in
Houston.
Oh.
Mary Lou Retton.
Mary Lou Retton.
She was in Scrooge.
And you get offered up all these different guests. And I said, yes, we have to take Mary Lou Retton. Please, let's take Mary Lou Retton.
Before I left, I typed out on a piece of 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper.
Hold on a second.
The story is that you met her at a Kmart?
I was very young to the point where I had to ride my bike to a Kmart in what was then Auburn Heights, Michigan, Auburn Hills now. And she was doing an autograph signing there.
What year?
After what was her big Olympics year? 84?
Mid-80s.
Okay, so it was probably 85.
That's the setup, and probably you told 19, her the story.
I was 14 years old about that, and I had a huge crush on her, and the story was I wanted to meet her. But before I left the house, I did this, and I told it.
Here we go.
Before I left, I typed out on a piece of 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper, "Dear Rob, you are one burning hunk of man. Too bad you're not a few years older. Love, comma." And then I folded the paper in half and brought it to the autograph signing and just asked you to sign the bottom sheet, right? So I came up to you. I'm like, "Oh, hi, nice to meet you." And I'm like, "Hi, can you sign this for me?" And you took the paper and opened it up.
Did I really?
And read the top, looked at me.
Oh, no.
Shook your head, rolled your eyes, signed your name, and handed it back to me. So now that it's a few years
later,
more, and like the age difference isn't as much, two-part question. Number one, do you remember? And number two,
you guys make
number two of the
really
two-part question.
Wow.
Number two, what do you think?
Oh, I think I can only answer yes.
Oh,
I can only answer yes.
It's happening.
It's happening. She was
what a sweetheart.
Look how so nice.
Oh, my God.
Look how young you look.
I didn't have the beard.
She was so, so nice. Probably the nicest guest we've ever had.
And still so cute.
Oh,
what a cutie.
Right there, too, boy.
Yep. Yeah. Tiny. Just a tiny little thing. Just put her on a plate and sop her up with a biscuit. Woo, look at her. Just tiny little Mary Lou Retton.
Spunky. Oh. Spunky's the word.
Yeah, yeah. That was, I mean, you think about the people that you get a chance to meet, and you're walking around Radio Row,
yeah.
And, you know, like just this past year, I think like Evander Holyfield was walking by or something. It's like, holy crap. You know, the luminaries.
That's a who's who of sports
people. Of sports and movie people and musicians. But to me, that's the one that stands out.
Number one.
Mary Lou Retton.
Number one. That's Mary Lou Retton.
Icon.
Robert Kraft crashed an interview that we were doing in Houston the week of the Houston Super Bowl. We were actually interviewing Josh McDaniels, and we were talking to him. This was at the baseball stadium where the Astros play.
Yep.
We were right near the third base dugout, right, Zoe?
Yeah. We had this thought that, okay, if we're going to be there at Flagship Station, we want to be there and have access to interview people
live at media night.
We've been doing this for years.
Doing this for years. We were talking to Josh McDaniels, and Robert Kraft rolled up and put on a headset, and we talked to him too.
We're talking with Patriots offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels. We heard opening night. What is it that the Falcons present as a challenge?
Yeah, they're very well coached, that's for sure. And they got a ton of team speed. They've done a tremendous
job.
We
want to drive
for
five.
Hey there,
with Big Jim
sir.
And Hardy here, huh?
How are you doing?
How come they didn't take us along? Huh? They had such a good time.
They had room on that bus, Mr. Kraft, did they?
I heard about that, but I saw it.
Seven days, 16 states, lots
how
of sponsors.
How cool was that?
Saw all the fans on the way down.
Now this guy got to do his job and help us close the order.
One more, huh? What do you think of your boss, the owner, Mr. Kraft?
Tremendous.
You're
back come
you're
on.
Well, he's not going. Hey, he's
no.
not going.
Well, no. He knows lower right-hand corner. Do not answer that question.
Like he was going to say anything
he's
bad,
He's the
right?
best.
This is great. We have the two. Josh is just glad because he's like he's got Sports Illustrated behind Ben Volans back here, too. You don't got to talk
to him. Okay.
Yeah, stay away from all those guys. Yeah. Just keep talking to us. That's a much better plan.
We say
best.
Nice things. We say
much
nice
better
things.
Plan.
You guys
but
are the
but
best.
You mentioned the drive for five, and we're all familiar with that now. How important is it for five? What would five mean to you?
Oh, I mean, look, I sat in the seats having my bum sticking to those metal benches and dreaming about this kind of thing happening and what Scott and his Josh. It's if you knew the time and energy they put in, and I'm thinking if I did that and then lost, I know how bad I feel, but what they put into it, we're driven to try to make this happen and we understand how special it is. And seeing the people along the route of that drive for five, and you guys were funny. It was fun. Yeah, but seeing how people were getting into it is just wonderful. And, you know, now wherever we go in the country, because of what our players and great coaching staff has done over the last 17, 18 years, has just really developed a great fan base. So I think the only people really rooting out for us to win now are those fans, people in New England, and everyone. You know, the Falcons are like we were 15 years ago.
That's a good point. So if we do win, which I'm counting on this week, what are we going to do with the bus? Is it going to become part of the hall at Patriot Place? Or
no,
we're just driving around him and Matty P, and maybe we can go to the Cape for a good time?
Maybe
or
we have a little party.
Let's go over that bridge.
Yeah. No, we take it to the other states. It's got to go every state in the Union.
And Hardy and Big Jim.
I don't know how we get to Hawaii, though.
Big Jim are back. They have to get back on the bus and drive around the entire country.
You get one of those duck boats, drive that thing right over to Hawaii, man. That's a long ride, though. But Hardy and Jim could do it.
Well, thanks for having me.
Mr. Kraft, thank you so much for coming over. We appreciate it.
Take care.
All right.
This hour brought to you by Boston Laser, dealing with glasses and contact lenses every day, still driving you crazy. Time to go where the pros go. Get LASIK with the team at Boston Laser. Book your free evaluation at bostonlaser.com today. Lower right-hand corner. We'll never forget that comment. It was a great one. Don't answer that question. He knows. Lower right-hand corner. Lower right-hand corner.
Good
one. Who signs the checks around here? You don't have to answer that. Don't answer those questions. That was Super Bowl 51, Houston.
It's funny you have to catch yourself to make sure you talk about which Super Bowl.
There's so many of them to keep track of.
I know.
Yep.
It's an obnoxiously real problem when you're talking about this team, but you're right. But that's the one. That's the one that's going to stand out for the way that everything that culminated getting up to it, and of course the game itself.
All right, we've got some more to get to here from Radio Row, including the best of, which will come up in just a couple of minutes, but some all-timer stuff. This has become an annual tradition on the Felger and Maz show. It's the annual Felger and Maz hangover. It started in Minnesota with Super Bowl 52 at the food court. Yes, Radio Row is at the food court.
Felger actually laid down.
It didn't first start that. No.
You started it
with Maz.
New Orleans.
Hold on.
New Orleans.
I was on an island in New Orleans.
That was only you?
Well, I think they were a little hungover. I was dying.
Okay,
I've never seen him sweat.
So the entire show hangover was not a thing.
Those
that was
guys
just you.
Called it quits early that night in
and
New Orleans.
Did you go to bed?
I did not go to bed. Oh, no. I made it back to the hotel, but it was at 6 a.m.
Oh.
I was out until 6 a.m. with Jeff Howe.
Oh.
And the show was at 2.
Party?
No, excuse me. 1 p.m. Central time.
You tried to sleep for a few hours.
Yeah, I didn't. I did a lot of puke. The show at 1 o'clock Central. I'm like, you know what? I think I better clear out the system here. Pull the old trigger, Hardy, and clean things out and get ready for the show.
Yes.
I think that's probably the best call here.
Tommy Two-Finger right down the hatch.
Yeah, because we did a lot of drinking out there on Bourbon Street tonight.
Oh, God.
Yeah. That's what was going on there in New Orleans. But that was not an entire show sort of attack. I was sort of on an island with that one.
Oh,
woo! New Orleans, baby. I love that place. This is Felger and Maz by them as a team. This is a team hangover. First in Minnesota, Super Bowl 52.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the program. Felger and Maserati, Super Bowl 52, day 3. How you feeling, Mazzy?
Oh, I'm like a peach, fresh as lettuce, as you would say. I feel dynamite. I'm really warming up to Minneapolis.
Do I sense sarcasm?
A little bit. A little bit of a rough night last night. A little bumpy. And some turbulence.
Hey, it's Felger here for Ace Ticket. Have you ever stood in line at the Garden worrying about whether your ticket printout would work or whether your phone would die before your mobile ticket scans, or if you're like me, you lost your phone last night because Murray slipped you something in the bar and now you've lost your phone and you can't get into the game? I want to thank Feldman for putting that together. Why am I blanking on Feldman's first name?
Mark.
Mark Feldman. Mark Feldman, former producer here at the Hub. He now works with Wiggy on what station is that?
96.9.
Jesus. Okay, so I know. Although I'm an old man.
Well, especially today you're old.
You two all right?
Been playing hurt all day long.
Some of us more than others.
Playing really hurt all day
Murray's
long.
Greatest accomplishment ever to this show.
Murray, I say this with all the love and respect in my heart. Go screw yourself.
Seriously, though. Yeah, it's the last time I go out with you.
Murray handed me something last night at the lounge, and I'm telling you, I'm just too old for that crap, Murray. I am too old for that crap. Again, I'd like to publicly, I've expressed this privately, I'd like to send my thoughts and prayers to the cleaning crew at the W Hotel in downtown Minneapolis. Again, my thoughts and prayers to you and your family for what you had to go through in my room today. Not pretty.
And while we're on the topic, I would similarly like to express my my thanks to the cleanup crew for the Uber company.
I'm fine.
Thankfully, it was the outside of the vehicle, not the inside of the vehicle.
Oh, my God. Just brutal. Just brutal. But we, here at Felger Maz, we tough it out. Games played is the most important stat there is. And, yes, we still showed up to play today.
I will say that just quickly about Minnesota and Minneapolis, and we talked about the Scandinavian culture here and, you know, the blondes and the blue eyes, that there are some yummy mummies in this mall. I will say
good. Very good, Maz. Thank you for that.
Jesus.
Just drunk speak.
And then they did it the following year. They did it the following year, just this past winter, when we were in Atlanta for Super Bowl 53.
It's the Wednesday after the second annual Drink Your Face Off. If Murray gives it to you, don't take it. Felger and Maz Spectacular.
We call it Super Tuesday.
Oh, my God. I don't know how much longer I can do that, fellas. I got too old for that about 15 years ago.
This is why I skipped out about 45 minutes before you did.
This is all night, Murray's Tyler. I'm taking you to a place that has 65-year-old journeyman strippers.
It's an institution down here, the Claremont Lounge.
65-year-old journeyman strippers.
I'll
tell you what, Murray, it kind of lived up to that.
Yeah.
There were some scary-looking broads in there.
Women.
No, these were broads.
Tough weathered ladies.
I don't remember everything, but I do remember one. She was huge.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was...
Do you see that one?
Yeah, that was Isaiah Wynn.
She was giant.
It's not so much about the ladies working there. It's just the vibe of the place. You walk in, you immediately knew. It kind of feels like the Star Wars bar, you know? Oh. So it's a mixed crowd, pretty loose, pretty wild.
No, total Star Wars bar. Freak show city, man.
My goodness.
Got up there, did some karaoke. Felger's cheering like he was a fangirl. It was great.
Murray did. He showed us the underbelly of Atlanta last night. Is what he did. He took us to every freaking hole in the wall dive.
No, that broad's underbelly.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. All right. Anyway,
Super Tuesday.
Okay. So there's that. We're playing a little hurt.
Oh my. Oh my.
When does it go up? Monday or Tuesday?
Tuesday. Super Tuesday.
So Wednesdays.
I think it's middle of the week. The hangover hits.
Yeah.
Oh, that was.
What's the only time you really get a reservation anywhere? Is Tuesday.
You can set. Don't worry about reservations when you're going out drinking.
No, they start it with a dinner. No,
they do a big
They started with a nice dinner, and then they go hit whatever they
hit. You got to have that base.
They do. They build a base first.
Yeah. That's smart.
Potatoes.
Smart. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Bread and potatoes.
They crack me up. Okay, this was something else that happened in Houston, and Zoe and I can preface it with this. We spent time with Jim Gray the night before his dust-up with TNR, and he was nice. So we had a really pleasant conversation with Jim Gray.
And I saw him the next day after.
We were out drinking with him.
In Atlanta.
Yeah. In Atlanta.
Yeah.
At a bar right next to the convention center. I had never met him before. Zoe had. He knows Zoe. And I had never met him. And I had many times referenced the Pete Rose interview when we have talked about him in the past. And I always mock him and say, why isn't he more like his Pete Rose interview? And I said, Jim, can I talk to you about the Pete Rose interview from 20 years ago? And he's like, sure. And he sat down and we talked about Pete Rose and we were talking about baseball. We were talking about sports stuff. And
who was he with? Phil Sims was there.
Phil Sims.
It was a crazy crew, man.
It was me, you, our boss, Mike Thomas, Phil Sims, and Jim Gray. The five of us.
Just hanging out.
Hanging out randomly. And then the next morning, he went to go on TNR. And I don't think he really understood that the station he was on was the station that we worked for.
Right.
I think he thought he was on a different station. I think he thought he was on maybe a different station. This is my theory on it. I think some other people share this opinion. Yeah.
But then I saw him the next day. We talk about an out-of-body experience. It was he and Stead McGram coming out of the team hotel when I was going in, probably just leaving Brady. And those bastards set me up.
He was still pissed.
I got jumped. In the street.
Because I don't think he got set up by anybody.
You tell those bastards. It's just like, wow. I was like, hey, I don't know what.
Well, I don't hear the setup here, but.
There's no setup. No one was setting him up. I mean, here he is on TNR. He should not have reacted this way. Here it is.
The Big Y World-Class Market guest chair is Jim Gray. Someone we talk about once a week during the football season. He is exclusive.
Must be a slow moment.
No. It's great. Because there's so many things. All right, so first of all,
Jim Gray.
Yes. Jim Gray. Jim. Oh, I didn't mention his name. Jim Gray. He's very recognizable. I didn't think I had to explain it. All right, so Jim,
We're fascinated with your relationship with Tom Brady. Okay, so you do the
Westwood. You have a lot of time on your hands.
What else do I have to do? What else? I do a four-hour show.
Okay,
so you do the Westwood One interviews.
Yes, sir.
But then during the documentary that they did, what was it called?
Tom vs. Time?
Tom vs. Time.
It was the Oprah Winfrey special that he did Super Soul Sunday. It was kind of funny because he's doing the interview, and then very out of nowhere, it seemed kind of strange, behind the camera, it was Giselle, one of the producers, and you were there for the taping of the Oprah interview. So what was the story with you being part of that Oprah thing?
I was invited to dinner by Oprah, so I came to dinner.
But that
you
was
know her like that?
Really?
Should that be surprising? That I'm sure you have friends. Yeah, I was invited to dinner. So
yeah, but I'm not friends with Oprah.
But that wasn't a
big deal.
But that wasn't dinner. That was a taping of a show. So,
it happened right before dinner.
At Tom Brady's house?
No.
Was that filmed at Tom Brady's house?
No.
Where was it filmed?
Where Oprah films her stuff.
And that's
California.
Where you guys...
I live in Los Angeles.
Okay, and that's where you guys were having dinner?
Well, right by there, yes.
You seem to be very secretive about this.
Well, why would my dinner plans be of any interest to anybody?
No,
I'm trying to answer the question. So I was invited Oprah to dinner, so I went to dinner.
But it was because you...
Oprah's famous, and Tom Brady was filming something, and you happened to be there. That doesn't.
Right.
They're two very famous people, and then there's Jim Gray.
Well, I know Tom.
Right.
Oprah knows Tom. Stedman knows Tom. Oprah knows my wife. We're all friends. So why not have a dinner? So that's what that was.
Okay, so you got there really early for dinner then.
Perhaps they ran late.
Well, it was the beginning of... it's very secretive.
I don't know what you're trying... Get to the end point. I mean,
all right,
what are you trying to
figure
out?
Don't worry about it. You don't want to be here. All right. We'll have to have...
Real quick. Are the questions when you...
That's what you wanted?
No, you just won't answer any questions. It's boring. I mean, you're being defensive and looking at me weird.
It's a stupid question.
But real quick...
All right, then I don't want to ask you...
Stupid question.
Okay, it's a stupid question.
What were you doing, having dinner with somebody?
No, we didn't know you were having dinner.
I just told you, and he didn't like the answer.
Oh, Jesus, Jim, just go. Do whatever you have to do. Bye. Here's the headlines.
Good luck to you.
Now, he was so defensive out of the gate that... He thought for some reason that... I just think he took everything the wrong way.
No, he was...
From the very beginning.
He's being very obtuse. He's like, I'm not allowing you... I'm not allowing myself to accept that... Yeah, it's... One of these things is not like the other. Oprah, Tom, Giselle, Jim Gray. What? We're all friends. We're all equals. What, we're having dinner? No, Jim, that's not it. But then Fred had a very quick fuse with him at the end.
Oh, he did.
Fred lost his patience.
I can understand why he would have been, you know,
Fred
a little
could see
upset
it was going
how
nowhere. It was going
it
nowhere.
And it was the end of the week.
But he was already pissed. Yeah. Jim Gray was pissed
nowhere.
Before the ending.
Right. Yeah.
He was already pissed before it ended.
Yes.
Before Fred said, whatever, go.
Right.
So that, I don't think it could have just, what is just the ending. That's all. He was already pissed.
This is like from the 40-year-old virgin when Andy was in the bookstore. Hey, I don't know what you're asking me, but do you want me to talk that way?
Yeah, Beth? I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to essentially restate the question with a non-answer, and it was weird. But so you thought he was on with somebody else, Beadle? Or you think that Jim Gray thought he was on with a different station?
I think Brady's had a couple of dust-ups on the radio here in the last couple of years that were highly publicized.
I think he got confused and thought
and
it was the other
morning. And I think he thought, I'm on in Boston. Who are these guys, and what is Brady's deal, man?
Okay.
And who am I talking
all
to here?
Right.
That was sort of my theory at the time.
If they're going to be dicks to Tom, I'm going to...
Right.
Yeah.
And is this the history that Tom has had with
I think that's
guys?
More of what it was, because he was... Oddly, I mean, Jim is a personable guy. Like, if you see Jim and you know Jim, like, just talks to you, you know?
Yeah, and that's why it was weird, because the night before...
defensive and pissed.
Granted, everyone had been drinking, but the night before, he was so personable and friendly and, like, engaging.
We were
slap-happy. And I was like, wow, this is weird, because I just met this guy last night, and he was not at all like he was on the radio. How weird is that? So who knows? Yeah. I don't know. He just... He had his guard up, and it was just not good. Let's get to this. This is a recap of the best of our show on Radio Row over the years, the best of the stuff we left out. I will tell you this. We've had a lot of fun, a lot of good memories to this point. And we're going to continue to have some fun here today. We've got some great stuff coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. A lot of laughs to come. There will be a more serious tone in the noontime hour today, coming up just minutes from now, as we take a look back at what is undoubtedly the most unique week we ever had here, and that was the week of the marathon in 2013. So we will do that coming up. But first, this, the best of Radio Row, and this covers a couple of different Radio Rows, the last two that we've been at, and enjoy this, because this will make you laugh, too.
Okay.
We going for number six, though.
Number six.
Number six.
That's right. What do you want to do? You want to get some chance started?
Huh?
Got a chance.
You want to get some chance going?
Let's go.
For those of you that are going to Minnesota, we'll see you there.
Forget work today. Just keep cheering, man.
They hate us because they want to be us. They hate us because they ain't us. And they hate us because they jealous of us.
We love you, Patriots out!
We're here, we've arrived, we've made it, and we're going to do the damn thing. Shaughnessy with us.
They got pasta on the menu. Yeah, they got the big cans of the tomato back there to make you look like they're doing it
tomato
all.
Cans, Dan, right? Tomato cans,
right? Oh, my God, look at the tomato cans.
Tomato cans. Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk. Was this the worst year ever for the NFL?
I think the NFL has had worse years. It's still the most successful sports league in America, but they need to clear out some of this nonsense.
Patriots offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels.
Boy, so this, I just want to see you waving a white towel sometime in the fourth quarter
Sunday,
with
okay?
Josie.
It's so cold that you feel it getting hard and frozen.
Whether we're driving to work, we're walking in the locker room, or playing paper, rock, scissors.
There's a store called the Beef Jerky Experience in here, and there's a huge banner there that's promoting the Beef Jerky Bowl. So I guess it all comes down to that.
Bill Belichick.
Hardy's leader.
Chris Sims.
I'm picking the Patriots, of course, because I think Brady's going to get the ball late in the game. He's going to drive down. You're going to win 28-24. I do think the Eagles. Are somebody booing me?
The head coach of the Boston Celtics, Coach Brad Stevens.
It's cold out here in Minnesota. I don't know like when you guys play out here.
Are you doing your show outside?
No.
Charles Haley.
Thank y'all for having me. This has been the best part of it. It's just sitting down with guys shooting the shit about something that we
Hell
love.
Hell yeah.
Had a concussion protocol?
Hopefully by tomorrow.
But do you think you'll play, Gronk? Do you think you'll play on Sunday? Do you think you'll play?
Good. Yes.
Think you'll play?
What stinks?
I don't know.
God, that smells bad. It's like something on fire. You know, it's the back and forth. Just bros being bros, man. Beetle, throw it to Hardy.
What? You know what annoys me the most about that, Hardy? Oh, Hardy's not listening. The CEO of KT Tape, it is Greg Benner.
And the nice thing is it's really tactified. Yep. Man, it is sticky.
It's really soft. It looks hard. Like it's rigid, yeah. And it looks like it's hard, but it's not. Let's go to the phones. Joe is in Revere.
Joe.
Gotham Chopra is with us.
Do you know Mike Riley at all?
I do.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
I saw you last week on
the side. Hold on. Stop it, Zoe.
How do you
hold on?
How do you really want to waste 5 minutes on Mike Riley?
Steve Spagnuolo.
Never said the word cheating. My comment was, I remember in Super Bowl 39 that Jim Johnson felt like they had a bead on what we were doing. Not illegal.
Deion Sanders with us.
I'm sorry I hit you late. I
came in.
That was you?
Yeah.
You know who was involved in this story?
Who?
Was it on our sideline?
Yes.
Goldberg.
John of the Craft joins us.
Mark Bertrand used to be my wife Patty's favorite radio personality. And
used
Hardy, I want you to know you're now number two. Oh. You've supplanted Mark.
Why? But I Terry Bradshaw, how are you?
Hey, hold on. There's
We want six. We want six. We want six. We want
This hour of coverage from Radio Row is brought to you by the hell of a good football dip.
Lick it.
Talking with Charlie Weiss, former Patriots offensive coordinator. Who do you like in this game?
Oh, I think it's Pats, and I think it's Pats big.
Devin Washburn.
We've talked across and Annapolis roots, so it's...
He must love you.
Oh, yeah.
He must love you.
Get that kid in here.
A lacrosse player from Annapolis?
You okay? Yeah, I went to move what I thought was a crumpled up piece of paper.
Oh.
It's like this nasty apple core wrapped in a piece of paper.
Gross.
That,
do you remember being at home and not being on TV when you first came into the league?
Yes. Yeah. Blackout. Yeah. Remember that? Why?
That's what the guy was calling about. from MMQB.
Andy Benoit. You ever get one of those discussions with Greer and he starts to and it's like a stuttering prick and he just can't get out of that mode?
Yes. Bob Papa's with us.
They were 10-1 and then Plaxico Burr shot himself in the leg.
Literally shot himself
in the leg. Shot himself in the leg.
Dan Shaughnessy of the Boston Globe is with us. How are you feeling about the game, Dan?
I can't help but think the Patriots are going to win.
Of course.
I know. It's overall.
What the hell's changed in 4 weeks with these people?
Daniel Wallach,
sports legal expert, predicts that this will be the last Super Bowl that Massachusetts residents will not be able to legally bet on.
Ooh. Well, this is a fine Hall of Fame, but there's an awful lot of minorities here. I'm going to get the hell out.
Is that too loud?
Oh, yeah.
I was doing Ty Cobb. That wasn't me. See, it's a character I do.
That's
called
like Larry David.
No, they don't care. Yeah.
Opening night in Atlanta.
Dante Scarnecchia here with us.
I don't like being out here with all these people around. I just want to go. I just want to leave.
Cordaro Patterson, Matthew Slater, Philip Dorsett, Chris Hogan, Patriots kicker, Steven Guskowski. Do you want to be doing this when you're 46?
Honestly, no.
Kyle Van Noy.
You guys have been a big part of that, supporting us, and we want to prove to you guys and to people like Felger and Maz we could do it.
I love how you pronounce that. Big Daddy, Rich Delgado.
Hypothetically, a guy you played with in college, did pretty well money-wise, is going into community media rooms and stuffing his bag full of chips. Would you say that's being fiscally responsible?
You know what? If it's free, take three, right?
Patriot, great John Hannon.
Well, Dwight White spits at him. And Grove sitting here and he's going, trying to suck. He had a cotton mouth. Couldn't work up a spit, so he just made the sound.
Rob Ryan is with us. How are you not coaching again?
Well, if you wait for a few more days, I will be.
Just now been made official. Rob Ryan, inside linebackers coach for the Washington Redskins.
I'm convinced that God is a Patriots fan. Born in Dorchester or something like that.
One quick thing on Bert's shoes here. They look very soft. May I touch your shoe? What size?
These are 12.
You want to try it on?
No.
That's weird. Former All-Pro with us, Kyle Turley. Hall of Famer Kurt Warner.
Let's move forward and give the Patriots credit where they deserve to have credit.
Just eat it.
Adam Vinatieri, who's with us.
You hit the ATM, you ride shotgun with me, we'll go out and celebrate tonight. You fired up?
I love it.
We're still here!
Here we go.
Here are the rails.
Where?
Here's the show.
I love this week.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.